They told me I'll be able to leave. Months, I haven't found out yet. I just had a good time, you know. But, this is a put-up job. Because, I'm only supposed to come here as a kind of extra color. Extra number. I belong to where Paul belonged. We look at Philemon. I call the ages. There may be one or two of you nearly my age here, I don't know. And the first session always awkward because of getting to know each other and what to say, what not to say. Then the ball begins to get rolling after that. I've been able to spend my about 3 months in my room with the at least I've had my type out there, which is just a bad of my writing, but at least it does type. I'm really able to dig into a few things which I've kind of run away from for a long time. So I'd love to get around all I can. So I'll be doing some of that. I had a good go on Romans 6-8. I've a long time wanted to really get Paul to say what we say. You know, about this then. So I've been getting Paul to do it. And that's in the friend's hands now, and we'll go and get it out, and I hope to get all my fellow in the mission I belong to, fellow workers, about 1,000 of them, don't you know? And other things, the whole point of the Bible to me is to see the Holy Spirit get you through the people, using the Bible for me to get the people to be people. So to get people to be people. And the Holy Spirit's done it through the ages, through the written word. So I found great profit yet many years in seeing the Holy Spirit getting into men and expressing itself by men through the ages, right up to Genesis upwards. And I've done a good deal of those in due course, and Julie has some of them already, but I was able to revise them a good deal. So I spent quite a long time on Job and Joseph and Jacob. Jacob's always my favorite because everybody maligns him. The only person who likes Jacob is God and me. We enjoy Jacob very much. And I like to see God using the people he shouldn't use. Great fun. And others, Moses, Elijah, Elisha. I've had great benefit from those. And Mary Sandbeck up in Louisville, they're kind of retyping them and they come through in due course. I've got Hebrews still using Hebrews here. Some of you had a good time on Hebrews. Pretty rich Hebrews, isn't it? So I had a great time on Hebrews. And, it costs something. You can't like to write, you know. You can say and people forget what you say. When you write, of course. I learned that was one of the first books I ever wrote, Touching the Invisible, which I wrote 50 years ago. So I found some things I said there, they need a little more care saying in writing. So I learned my lesson there. So it's a different thing to write than just to talk. Because like Congress, you can always forget what you talk. You can't forget what you write. And so it's a good, tough job to write. And be sure what to say as far as you see is God's sake. So I've done some of that. And I want to go and do some more. So there we are. The point is what's best to talk about on our first session. I've never had my prepared sermons. I can't give you 5 points. Look at it that way. I really give what we've got, that's all. So I'm only saying what will be put in different forms, of course, through the weekend. And, what should we say is, why we say something unique? What is the uniqueness? And why are we in a position that it's very rare. Well, this is very rare. So it's a big thing to say things you need. So if I'm saying what I'm saying it now, I hope it's what the scripture says. And then it is the same kind of thing as how you're going to come and say on these other sessions. You're in for conversation. The joke is, already most of us are co-confronters. We're the old bunch together. So I'm only reminding you of the old bunches, what the old bunch says. Only a few of you here, I think, that are those who have not been before. But it is unique. See, why the Jews fight Jesus? Isn't because he's just Jesus. It's because he shakes their whole basis of life up. No, Judaism goes down the drain. Judaism went on the cross. And so it shakes the very being. So a Jew doesn't refuse Jesus just because Jesus was or wasn't in history. It's because if you believe him, you're in trouble as a Jew. You're in the explosion. And that's Muslims. That's why Muslims can't take Jesus to the Muhammad. Because they didn't just take a historic Jesus as a thought. They claim to believe in a historic Jesus. But he blows up the whole Muhammadism. Because everything is blown up if you go to Jesus. You take Jesus and his way of being is, that's all. So that's explosion. And we are in that same explosion in Church of Christ today. I have no evidence I can give. There's any sign of the Church of Christ on any level taking it as four members of the Church of Christ, as groups of the Church of Christ, I don't know. When the final issues come down, whether one might take it, it exposes everything. It exposes your relationships, it exposes your cooperation, everything. So it's a very rare thing. For a group or a person who represents a group for this to be to them what it is to us. Now, why is it unique? Because the purpose of God's church is to have completed selves. That's a big thing to say. Completed selves. Even Jesus had to learn obedience through his suffered of Jesus. Being made perfect, because Jesus himself had been made perfect. That's false self. To make other people perfect. And he's the kind of man, isn't he? So we have to find a relation to a perfect deity, who the only person there is, the perfect person, who can express the perfect person. And the perfection is the problem. So to be a perfect person, because you're expressing of the perfect person. And you can't express yourself, can't express the perfect person, in fact, unless you know what it is to be an expression of the perfect person. So you've got to be perfect expressor. That's the difficulty. So of course we start with some things we all know. Well, he's the only one person. I say that kind of thing, you know that. In the beginning, he. In the end, he all in all says all this, you know that. I've seen there's no other. So the universe is he in Paul's expression, that's obvious. What's a tree? It's a life in a seed. As a life in a seed, you take the form of a tree. That life, of course, is a deity life in a seed. You know that. So you see, there is only one person. Yet we collect persons to be persons, without the origin of something. The battle rages, carries out another reality, that consciousness is only the opposite. Nothing is clearly known except for opposite, like clearly known by dark, sweet by bitter, and so on. If you take a light, no, unless it has opposite, and the two together makes light, you utilize it darkness to express its lightness. And heat uses cold to express its heatness. You have that. So the universe, of course, that's what the modern day physicists know. Physics is the problem of the duality of the atom. Why is it a particle? Why is it a wave? Why is it both? And those two make atoms. They're two opposites. Particles jump and the waves flow, yet they're two. They're part of opposites. And those two opposites make the comet out of all this, of course. So it's like the very center of being is this. So therefore that raises the question, and we have to answer. If you can't have a God who hasn't confronted the opposite and put them into focus. That, of course, is why long ago it found us. So why did it say God, there's something God can't do? Why did it say God can't lie? Can't lie. That didn't. Can't lie. Because a lie is one of the opposite that lie, of course, of self. So you have that problem solved in God. You have to use eternal temporal forms of eternal things. You can't do more than better than that. He's from everlasting to everlasting. But there's a problem that has been solved in it. And the solved problem is he's the self. A self must be for himself. He can't be self otherwise. He must be a self-sufficient, self-aligned, self-operating self. Left itself as a self for self. But notice in the heart of the universe is opposites. A thing cannot be known except as opposite. And the opposite was God bringing out into being his own son, and instead of becoming a self for self, it becomes a self for his son, a self for others. Therefore, the heart of God is as a cross. That's the value we have in the book of Alan Parker, the cross is the heart of God. So the heart of the person is a death, a life. a person who ceases to be one kind of person become another kind of person. He said there are many, what the Bible calls a fire, a consuming fire. Fire becomes light. Fire is consumed, or it becomes light. As a death takes place in the fire, it produces light. And the helium atoms fuse, they become light. Fire and light. Fire consumes, light blesses. At the same basis, that's God. So the heart of God is a person of a certain quality who ceases to remain that person of a certain quality. His quality is me for me for me. And he becomes an eternity in the at the beginning of his garden, the fire which was a me for me becomes the life and self giving love. And all his being goes into the love of his son. And so that whole being, that combined being, is other love. It's combined with the other love. But that's a crossing. And without that cross, it couldn't be conscious. You only be conscious of opposites. Light is only conscious because it isn't dark. Wouldn't know it otherwise. Sweet is only conscious because it isn't bitter. And all that, you only know conscious because it isn't yellow. And then you put the two together and make something. Cooks make something out of sweet bitter and make the two together and make something. And we make dark light and produce a light situation, so on. That, of course, is fundamental to our unique, it's because there are certain ways that have been through history in which people will talk about God, a relationship to God. People have a relationship to God. All religions have a relationship to God. They didn't die on a cross. So it's a false relationship. Building up a God without a cross, and a human without a cross. And trying to build a thing up without a death in the middle. Yeah, something. So as everything is only two opposites which would combine, and one uses the other, as I say, life falls up, death and so on. So that's through the universe. So it's in the personal universe. That is mainly unknown as a fact in a sense of God. The Church of Christ may say of the cross, but they won't understand why there's a cross. The cross is in God. That's why that article that Pankton is so important to, which came out of the great mystic Jacob Burma. The cross is out of God. The cross doesn't start with us, it starts with the person. The other person, only the kind of person he is now, the self-giving person, because of the death, being a self-loving person. That's the truth. Father, son, and the spirit reproduces. That's the being. That's the person. That's not known in the Church of Christ. Even though the Church will preach a cross, they mean our cross. They mean the cross Christ died for us. They don't mean the cross in which God died. That's the missing spot. That's the beginning of the uniqueness. That's for a long time I said that, how then it's a burden. And I use that scripture I told you, God cannot lie. God, something God can't be. Then you got it. Then why? How can't he lie? Why doesn't he lie? I told you. Because a lie, of course, is a quality of self for self. If something happens to God, he can't be self for self. He must be self for others. How? Why? How does a self for self become a self for others? I said, yes, yeah. Then you kiss. Death to being one quality of self, fire, and becoming another quality of self, life. And fire produces life. Father, son. So even there we start our uniqueness. And of course, that's so far away from us that we can put that away and say, God. It's after dust. After dust. God has brought personally to the being the tribe of his own person. That's the great leap of the creation. He brought persons into being like himself. In their makeup. In their makeup. Spiritual body. Makeup. Quality. Makeup. We're made in his image. Which of course means that therefore he's got something by which he can reduce himself. Everything he shows forth is glory. You can't see God's the tree, you see glory in the tree. You see glory in the light. Everything I live in worship can always see the glory in everything. Springtime's marvelous, marvelous. But you don't mistake the outburst of the green around us as God, it's the expression of God. You don't mistake God for the leaf. But you do mistake God for the post, because that's a different thing. That's the leaf in the creation. Everything else is God in a form. In naked first is God as a person. So you see, it's enormously serious. If the creation of persons is to reproduce the person, it's enormously serious. It's the very heart of being. That God can find a means of re-expression itself by persons. He's re-expressed today by forms of glory and all that science and physics and power and glory in person. And that's all the first science can get. And you can hammer out impersonal. If life isn't impersonal, that's forms. That's a person. And a person is only accepted as a person by person, not by a person. That's the difference. But now then, because of things, only know about the opposite, you've got to meet the opposite in the first. As I say, light earlier because there's dark, and street earlier because there's bitter. So everything has, and as I say, the atom is both part of the other way. They're opposites. They have to fit them together and make their entities out of it. So everything must have opposite. So a person has opposite. So God has opposite. And that's how the course is. All right. Now the other great danger. One of the first dangers we don't recognize the basic nature of God, which has the course is. A fire whose color light is God. Those are the Bible terms. A fire which controls because light is delicious. And in between the death. That's God. That's God. That's why God's a tree. Therefore, of course, man's a person must do the same, must go through the same process. Now here comes the other problem, as we know, which is equally our weakness, is equally our uniqueness, is that there is only one person. There is only one person. And that person expresses itself in forms. Forms are trees and whatnot. They are expressed as a person by a person. There's only one person. Only one person. A person can express himself on a lower level, atomic power or color or things, and you see his glory. He expresses himself as a person, that person is only one person. So the person can't become the person. Now that's where we move into our other uniqueness. Because God died to be one kind of person, to become the other kind of person. He died to be a fire, self to self, burning, and in the beginning of the summit of the light, he's self living. So we all start the fire. That's the basic thing. Everything is fire. Practical fire, not all of those. Fire. Everything is fire. Just because of fire. You know that? That's why there's this electrical power going about somewhere all over the place. Fire. That electricity is light. fire. Fire. God says that's a self-curse. Source of it. Now the the way we have to learn who we are, technically who we are, is by the losing and the delivery from it. By the losing and the delivery from it, the delusion is that you can be a person if you're God person. That's what Satan was. Satan's a former God. He's a fire former God. He made a fire person to the God person in fire form. He's a negative God, a God person, a power form. There's no such thing as a person except God. So God, Satan's only person that is God's personhood in strong form, power form, to which God has died. So God has a cosmos. Satan wouldn't have a cosmos. That's what his world is, trying to build up a religion without a cosmos, can't be. Now this is the way in which God had to teach us our basic negative to have a basic positive. We've got to know. Our basic negative is to know who we are as a negative, and then who we are as a positive. Now see, Satan has deluded himself in his negative. It's all dead positive, it's positive negative. God fire is a negative, life is a serpent. But God's fire is far enough his life, is all love. Satan is the same fire, not followed up, the main fire, self. But the lie is that the person, that the intelligent person, is making it as if it's himself. That's his lie. As if he's a separate person, as though it's that thing. He's just a negative, following a fire forward God, which God never has been. He's God's had the eternal destiny. Now, see, we have to learn what a self is and how it functions. Where Satan failed and then God learned it. God learned it by having a son. God learned it. Jesus had to learn obedience to become a son. He had to learn by dying to be a fire God and becoming a light God in his son. Now Satan wouldn't do that, so he made him a fire form and thinks he's therefore himself just a fire form. He doesn't say he's a fire form, but God is just self, fire form, just a self. Now we have to learn the same way. So we have to learn that we have the negative potential of being eternal expressions of God, perfectly natural. Perfectly natural, re-expression of God. And one day we can operate as God. That's why God says, you silly people, if you have faith up a grain of mustard seed, you do move mountains. We don't move a saw, that's the mountain. That's only grain. A grain for your faith will move a universe. That's what we're going to be. People move like God moves. We begin by little grain stuff. A little bit of faith. Jesus said only a grain left, but even that does a thing or two. It does a thing or two. So we have to know all these people. But you see, you have to learn who we are as a person. By finding out a person is only a re-expression of the deity person and nothing else. But if we re-expression of the false form of the deity person or the right form of the deity person. The false form of the deity person is Satan, who acts as though he's really only, is only a negative form of God. That's why it's called the God of this world. And in order we may learn who we are, we have to be caught up by that delusion. So we know we accept Satan at the fall, but we think he made us something. He made us operate, but that's a lie. He made us what we think he is, a negatively operating person, isn't he? He's operating God's fire nature. Self for self nature. Self destructive nature. That's God's fire nature, self hell. And Satan thinking he runs at himself, put those into us, we think it's ourselves. So we don't know it's Satan as us. We think it's taking influence of us and impregnated us, and we're just sort of ourselves, sort of doing sort of ourselves as a person, influenced by Satan. There's no such thing as a self. There's only one self in the universe. There's only one operating self in the universe. All other selves are expressions of the self. Like a tree, it's an expression of God's life form, you know, only a form there. This isn't itself an expression of a life form. Atomic power, they now know atomic power comes from mind. It's an expression of the inner mind, exactly. It's a form of a mind, a form. Everything is there. And a person can only be expressed by expression of God's person. That's tremendous. But God says, and in his delusion, he took himself, this independent, and put that into us, makes us think we are independent. So we live our lives as if we're persons related to Satan. Well, now we, Jesus came and died and rose and first of God's Son, and so we've moved. And we've moved, that's been a step, of course, step of confession of sin and lost tradition, coming to Jesus and totally sacrificed and saved and so on. We've done that. And because God had done more than that, he could have been himself through it, because he's really put Satan out. That we don't know. That's the body death of Christ. We don't know that. We know the blood death of Christ. Romans 1 to 5. We don't know the body death of Christ. Romans 6 to 8. So we know the blood death of Christ. And because he had done the body death, it could operate us and it could come and take us home. Because really, Satan was out. We didn't know it. We don't know that. He really is out in the Calvary. Not just sin out. Satan's out. We don't know that. Satan's sin principles out. You know that. But so because it's been done, it could operate. So we can be born again. Now we're born in you, now we're new. Now that must be it. Our first dawning life is something that isn't us, it's becoming new in us. We know that from us. We're born of the Spirit. If you're born in you, something's happening that isn't you. You've found out something. You've got the faith that more or less was you. He influenced you, you only thought you were comfortable with your things and all that, which you were. And you're just a slave, doing the same stuff at all. But you thought you were. But you recognized Satan's power, but you started yourself pretty accountable. So it's part of Satan, made part of you. Now this, you know, isn't you. You've begun something. That the person doing something isn't me, a new nature. There's something about me, and our love and the peace of God isn't me. That must I see. Now, because I've been rooted in this lie of an independent self is really negative God. It looks like being out. Satan. Negative self. Self to self. Because I've been rooted that, and Satan maybe think it's me, now I think I'm a person on Christ. Now I'm a bit confused. If a person has Christ, yes, I see that. A person with the Holy Spirit, I see that. It's a person with Christ. A person has Christ. If the person in Christ is still a person, or Christ in me is still a person, I've still got that person with my problem. I may have so far I've Christ in me, that's wonderful. Holy Spirit, that isn't me, I know that. There is a thing in which I think is me, that's my lie. Because it's Satan's lie. Satan is expecting this higher self, which is living in the form of God, as what it does. So the whole of the last radical desperation is the destruction of the our basis of our selfhood. Our life is on our selfhood. That's why radical. Before we're saved, of course it's built on self. I'll do the best I can, I'll do what I want. Satan admitted it, it's me. I won't get saved because of me. I want to preserve my me. If there's a certain minute, I deserve my same condition. Now we've got beyond that, but we still think it's a me who's a lost sinner and become the same saint. I'm still preserving a me, and don't understand my good self me is a bad, my bad self me, because all self is self for self. The good self is as a bad self. Romans 7, when I would do good, even perfect. Now that's what caught the church up. And the whole church says, yes, I have Christ, so as I said, I'm talking about saved churches. I'm not even talking about the many precious people who aren't even saved in churches. Now thank God our believers are saved in churches. But see, Christ and me. I have Christ as a me, and of course now I was devoted to Satan, now I'm devoted to Christ. Of course, I didn't know I was Satan. I didn't know I expressed Satan, I was devoted to Satan, so I thought. Now I reversed my devotedness to Christ, and there's a me. And all I had is to be a better kind of me, expecting Christ. So I'm a self-conscious me, not just Christ-conscious me. I'm not just a Christ-conscious me, a me expressed, and the self-conscious is a me and Christ. Me in Christ means a me and. It isn't a me as. A me as means it isn't me, it's he. A me in means a me and he. Him and me means he and me. Me as means he and me. I don't say that. That's the last part. I don't say that. Still I don't. That's why Lord John says, as he is, so are you. As he walked. John had the as. Lord John had the as. Now this is the point. And we built up community, we built our churches, our societies, and the whole way goes when this goes. Because your way is relating yourself to a society which possesses Christ. So you're in the family views, in the work, good, and all that, they're all part of the society expressing Christ. There's a me expressing Christ. In the old days, there's a me expressing Satan, and you got out of that one anyhow. And you come to Jesus and got saved. Now it's a me expressing Christ. All you have is that. This is a desperate thing. You doubt your church, you doubt your pastor, you doubt your people. And hardly any pastor attempts this because it destroys congregations. Congregations won't take it. They build on, come on Sunday and pray more and do word. It's me and Christ. It's this Christ, it's me and Christ. It's Christ that has me. I've got myself preserving me as well as preserving Christ. That's, and yet my church is built on that, and church is built on that. It destroys churches. As I told Jesus, wouldn't just destroy law, it destroys Judaism. So the whole system of priests and sacrifices, that's the whole being is destroyed. No wonder they crucified it. Not just a question of true law. So you did this being is only there now. Nothing more tragic than the Holocaust. Why the Holocaust tragic? Because nobody went crazy. Holocaust is a tragedy, they burned. It's good to burn, but they didn't know they burned Jesus. He didn't know it. Let them burn us, they burned Jesus and praise God. We have a great Holocaust. They go to get saved and praise. Those couldn't do it because they don't know Jesus. They went crying, dark, dark, dark. So if they pity them, you should let the pity them. If they need Jesus, praise them, be burned to Jesus, isn't it? They're what they're pitying for, they don't know Jesus. Because the whole Jewish race don't know Jesus, shown up, not one. I don't know one person went praising to Gashem. So we would, didn't go praising to Gashem. If they would, they'd say to the house of God of Jesus. They don't know. Because you see, they're holding the system. And that's why they want to see Jesus. They blow their system up. They cease to be a respectable Jew. Not just to see Jesus, or a respectable Muslim. They blow the Muslim, no wonder the Muslims burn them, kill them. It destroys Mohammedanism. Doesn't get so joy of believing in Mohammed. It destroys Mohammedanism. Jesus is radical. It destroys your church life. That's your problem. Even if you remain in the church, you know that you're uncomfortable and they are too, you know it. God bless you to come to me. Remain as you can to be a lover. Remain as you can. But you're uncomfortable and they're uncomfortable. You're not part of them. Pray more, work more, do more. You know it, and the pastor knows it. I tell you, I'm an uncomfortable Christian. It's all, it got out of me. You die for your church. Don't do that. You hurt it. Because it's in the church of Christ's church. Say it as you can. Bless it as you can. Bless it. But you have to do it with a hurt on you. I have to do my own mission. My own mission goes far farther than most. And my mission is to follow the Son of God. So only hardly any faces. I'm thrown out now. They only know 6 people. Lord, let me build a whole thing to be. I'm out. Because I can't take that it's not a bunch of people serving Jesus. It's Jesus serving himself in our form. They can't take that. They can't die out to be missionaries. They can't do it. I tell you, it's a desperate thing. It cuts not just your, it cuts your whole way of being. Then you may repeat, I mean, I love my way, I remain with them all elected. So I love them, and I don't want to get there. Great stuff there for Jesus. I'm not going to leave them until they finally kick me out altogether. Because I'm with them, but I'm with them in a poor heart. because they don't. Except for one or two, they don't know. And when I was asking them, they never asked me about me. They asked me about the convention. And I talk about Japan, and Japan, or Africa, or Colombia, and love to talk. They never say, what about you, Japan? They have a prayer center going on now. I say, doctor, prayer gets bleeding. They don't take this. So they get all of them to pray certain hours a day. And they've been listed out our headquarters here, certain people to pray for. Well, four of them are caught. They've given my name to pray for. Four of my precious people I know very well. I went to want their vehicles. But they did send me that these dear four people prayed for me. So I wrote back, oh, I said, praise God, I thought you'll pay me out of the error, will you? But please tell me what the error is. I said, I thought you'll give me pay me out of my error. Please tell me what the error is. Not one answered. They danced. That's why they don't have it. They danced happy. They get blown up. They danced happy. Serious, it is my own. And my precious work, I tell you, they prefer to any, I know no other mission goes far than they stole out of Jesus. They don't, no salary, no guinea baker stuff, no salary, no nothing. They give it for Jesus. Sell their lives out in Africa for Jesus. If they don't know this, they don't know this, they can't be. It's still they and Jesus. They and there's a death. The death of God died, they have to die. The death of Jesus died, including himself, as you might say, cross on Calvary. So you see, you don't find that until you are desperate about yourself, until you can't make that as a redeemed self now, as a church member, not to unsay, until you're desperate as a redeemed self. It didn't work. Whatever you just worked, you've been research, and you know that. You've been saved, you've been spiritual, you had the gift, it hasn't quite worked there. It hasn't yet quite worked. Something is. You believe that if you have the abiding life, if Christ abides in you, something missing. Because it's not the abiding Christ, it's the abiding you is the problem. That's the problem. See this. That you're a beautiful soul. So many that you express God, but the only expression. The whole universe, the only expression. And because you're only acting by negative, you have to have the wrong expression first. So lonely. I have certain expressions. Telling power of God and activating himself Satan. Getting to make you deceive very, very Satan. And you have at last to realize all that self stuff is Satan as you. And you need an air, not an in. It wasn't Satan in you, it was Satan as you. Now when you're Satan as you, you need to take Christ as you when you know power. And when you know this other app operates the cause of the body, it is made sin. It's made like ours. We're sinners expecting, sinners truly expecting Satan sin. And Jesus has made that, not for our sins, he said blood. He's made sin, so God is in his sin. By the power of Satan. He died as made sin, outside that sin. And thus, death outside the spiritual body. He came those sins, that sin. So it's the body of death, this is how it was Christ, it was Satan as us. Not Christ as us, who the body of death of Jesus Christ. So he's back on the cross. And in that cross, you're involved in the bottom. You find it because you're your own church that you are. Pray as you can, but you'll find you there'll be just something in you. As I say, I'm all my whole being is in my work. I spent 60 years in my work. I live in these places, so I live my life. Africa, I live in those places. Talk to me, never ask me. I spent hours talking about Japan and West Africa and this. I'm totally interested. They never dare say, what about you? They know they dare. They know there's something there. We should catch them. So they live nicely with me and share about my what is here. I long to hear. I each of all I care about what is Africa is my life. And India and Indonesia and it's my life. They never come back about me. They dare. Because I'm an outsider. Without the tent, and so I love to be with him, and I'll be with him to the end. Is that why that happens? And so at some point they do happen. But only on that level, except for just one of you. This is his level. So the whole thing goes, and Paul said, I don't know man after flesh. No man after flesh. This is the church. I don't even know Jesus after flesh. I'm a spirit person. A spirit person is a person expressing the spirit deity. Your human self is expressing the I don't know what to say. Now, I won't say any more about that tonight. We're going to discuss that these days. That's what we're talking about. That's what it is. They're radical. And the day hasn't yet come when the whole church will take. One day, the earth shall be full of joy, the Lord will come to see. That doesn't come to pass. There's one and one. With glory, one. And then one's all righteous, they're righteous. Because my great skill is to be like this yet, which I shouldn't be, because if you folks take it on, thank God you've taken on now. You've just come to that mighty English conference where I left about for some years. I don't know what you call. You've got the new generation coming through your generation now. And this conference now is your generation. And but I'm just telling you from the old background, shouting from the background to you. That's what it is. And you're about to get a limit too now. Limit too. But it's radical, and the only way you know it's radically new, you can't think radically as other people. That's just very simple. It's a marvelous thing. Exactly like God. But to contain God, not yourself, no such thing as creation. And because of this thing about God, you had to contain the wrong self to start with, Satan's self. And what it's you, and that Satan operating in. You've got to find that, and then find the death of death by taking it out Christ again, moving in Christ as you. And you're about to walk in Christ. And you learn to be a simple person and walk in Christ. And you'll practice the daily life of that. I had lovely, how they say, a lovely travel down from Boston today with my Betty here. They're involved in the printing ministry. It's a thrill to me, right in it. God doing this. That's it. In practical life. See, God can see your finance, God can see a living machine. This is it. Practical person, God in a person, God taking this. That's the God. But it's God, it's not it. And you've got to do that. That's our own. And therefore, I know to you mainly, man, because the accompaniment, I'm only man you ought to know. But that's all. When you do know it, the Spirit has a river in you. He starts like a well in you. It becomes a river. River flows. When you really know, you can't hear. Thank God, we're not going to see. I can't help it. It's got to get it. It's got to get it. Our life's got to. He does. He's getting Christ in the earth, what he is to other people. In our different kind. So that's it. You don't use the proper perceiving by the heavy stuff that you ask for, thank God. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you.
We're glad that this is your hour, so we can be troubled. It's you do the speaking, you give the listening ears, you open the eyes, you do the job. You've done it, you go on doing it, till the whole world knows. So thank you. And for getting us together this weekend, and to interchange and learn a little more of you from and by each other. Thank you. And bless the people who are supplying for us here, looking after us. Bless them too. Amen. Well, I didn't know or expect that I'd be lumped on you again this morning. I came to be a sideliner. And so there we are. I'm half dead. My teeth fall out. Can't walk very well. Nothing left up here. There we are. I hope it must be the Holy Spirit, that's all. As I have been landed on you this morning, I'd like to begin again with you and re-examine whether we really do know what we say we know and are who we say we are. Because if we are, it's like a surge on you. It's a passion. God's a passion. The Proverbs is this. And when we're in the God relationship, we're a passion. And you can't stop an Amazon. Let me go. Says he, am I? Am I? What I say I am. What is this unique reality we spoke of last night? What is it? So I want to go with it again. As we do so and discuss things this weekend, I will talk of the see exactly who we are and what we are. See, Paul said to the very high-level saints, the Ephesians were the high-level saints. He said, the eyes of the understanding may be enlightened. They were the high-level people. He said, I pray the eyes of the understanding may be enlightened. You may know. No top stuff. Seated with him, top stuff. Crucified with him, seated with him. So see, Paul said that to the top saints, not the beginner, in the Ephesians. So there is that. This is all we have except it's by the Spirit. In some senses, we aren't a very Bible people. I always have to have a Bible with me, always. The older I get, the more I live in one book, really. It's the only kind of authority I have as a human. It has to be interpreted, superhuman, by the Holy Spirit. It has to come through the human. Well, I know that I'm an African missionary. I translated the Bible, or the New Testament, half the Old Testament, into a language called Bangala, which is now the language of the whole of Zaire. Well, I picked it up as only a local language. So I remember the children of the city called, of course, had people to read. None of them could read. But when they could read, it's not what you say, it's what the book says. They've got something. Oh, I see. It isn't what you white men say, it's what the book says. Because it isn't only the book, it's what the Spirit says by the book. But it comes by the book, by the book. So we have to be people of the book as well as people of the Spirit. That's very important to us because Jesus said it isn't the book in the end, it's the Spirit. He said, the words I speak are their spirit and life. Their words have become life, but their first words have become life. They don't come life without being words first. So the two go together. So we're right, they're not book people, we're spirit people. Spirit people are book people at their basis. One of the best letters I got from the New English, you people who see it in the last month, and was from one of our sharpest I know very well. Very sharp-minded teacher. I guess she came. And she waved things up. I was so glad she looked at me and said, I like finding you scripture-centered people. Now, I hadn't expected them to say that. I know you have scripture-centered people. I said, that's good stuff. Because she's the kind of person who sees, who watches for that. You see, she'll just talk, or to which a basis. So we are basic people. But the basis has got to become people. They kiss on the basis. And, I know we don't do much direct Bible study. I know we don't in that sense. I hope and think we do interpret the Bible. I hope we do. That's in some ways been my drive for years to be sure I'm interpreting this. Well, in this case, cause I say, well, it says over here. It has to be repeated by me my way. I don't want you, that's what you say, well, it says over here. That's our only authority. We are human, and Paul will always say the infirmity of your flesh. Flesh is good stuff, but it's human stuff. It's only bad stuff, but it's misused. It's good stuff. God is manifested in the flesh. That's pretty good if God is manifested in it. So flesh is good stuff, misused, all I can use. But it's human, it's frail. Because they're not the vessel. And the infirmity of flesh means, well, we've got to find out and we may make mistakes and all that stuff. Mistakes aren't sin. We need to talk about that. Lots of condemnation lies there, but I don't think we've got time this morning. But, there is infirmity of flesh, and this is to build up so we can know what we have got on the flesh level, on the mind level. Like the actor says, oh, I see now, it says so here. It's, oh, I see, this is just what you said. And then you have to come back to what you said. See what I mean? So we are Bible people. And though our tendency is to share But hopefully, I think we do on the whole share from the Bible. And we go back to the Bible as our final authority. So I'm really asking, I'm really running over that again this morning with you, on the Bible basis, to find out whether it's become me, spirit free, he's spirit me, I'm spirit, me. So the Bible becomes me. It's via the Bible. See? I asked the question that we raised last night, and which is our fundamental question, because it is the missing question. It is the missing question. And we claim to have the answer. And if we had the Church of Christ desperately needs it, whether they know it or not. The question is this. We go pretty far in Romans. Now we can go pretty far with us here. I didn't go through Romans 1 to 5 to you, the justification of faith. Thankfully, we all have been that way. That's a very radical way. That's been a word become right philosophical. He's become a personal savior to us. We're righteous in his righteousness, the precious blood shed and resurrection. Justified by gained by justification. We know that. And the Spirit speaks to the Word, the Spirit is the one who's born us again, and we confirm it, It's been confirmed. Now we go on to what all of us here know, and Paul said all born again people are meant to know. It shows how what thin soup we have got down here. Because when you get to Romans 6, it talks about the kind of people we are. How does it work out? Should we continue in sin? How does it work out? Not sins now. 2 Peter says he died for our sins in the blood. Romans 6 says he died for sin. Sin's a product of sin. Sin's a product of sin. And in Romans 6, should we continue in expressing, not sins now. All right. Should we continue in sin expressing this bad stuff? This self stuff? Should we continue? And then Paul gives an answer. It's a very profound answer, and it's known to us here, and it keeps getting more known in the Church of Christ. And that's a big thing to say, in certain areas of the Church of Christ, which is anyhow. Which is a far deeper thing, is that this person on earth represented me. So what he was, I was. Because he died, I died. That's big stuff. That is the flesh. Flesh is physical. Yet when he died, I died. When he rose, I rose. That's deeper. And that does mean now something more. It's meant to us a Christ relationship. More than Christ relationship, a Christ union. Now Christ relationship, of course, is our salvation. That set forth on the cross. Appreciation through faith in his blood. God set forth. And we come to the cross as that part of the cross through the fall of the cross. Come to the cross, receive the benefits of the cross. So it's amazing the relationship. Now this is the relationship because I'm part of him now. When he died, I died. So I'm unified with him. Hello, I'm unified with this dying Christ. When he died as me, he died to this thing which had operated. He had been my bugbear, this sin stuff. Died to sin itself. When he died, the sin of the spirit in him as us died, went out. As a dead body. And in the world, by a new spirit. So we've come in now to Christ. And in Christ, we see ourselves dead. In Christ, death, our death to the sin, whatever that means. And in Christ's resurrection, we've risen with Christ. So we've come to the in Christ situation, or the Christ in me situation. But we haven't come to the me situation. That's the weak spot. It comes to, I'm a Christ in me. Well, that's the Bible. Paul took it, the whole church knew that. She has nothing to do with it. He said, no, you're not in us. Didn't say, find it out. He says, don't you, look in the Bible, 6:1, says, don't you know that when you die, when you're buried, it symbolized that you went into buried down with Christ and rose again. That was a mortal symbol. Don't you know that, he says, because that's the symbol of new birth, baptism. Of course, that's been vitiated by this ridiculous drinking water on a bunch of kids. I hope we deliver from that one anyhow. baptism is a real burial to us, we understand that, at least we're supposed to. And it's related us now into Christ. Isn't Christ there dying? Is Christ co-dying? I died with Christ. I've risen with Christ, so Christ in me, I'm in Christ. If Christ is in me, taking the place of sin, dead to sin, Christ in me, I've died in Christ, I'm with Christ, risen with him, and so on. So our Christ-sensitiveness has become fairly plain. Our self-sensitiveness has not come plain, and that's the weak spot. We get the Christ right, we don't get the me right. And the whole point of getting the me right is in the end, all we are is a me. God's the big me. I am is I'm the big me, isn't it? It's the name is I am, and we're products of the big me. If he's like, we're like, and so on. So in the end, all I have is the big me. The big me, and me in some relationship with him as the me. So unless I can find me right, I've not got any focus. And here we have it, we seem to have it. Oh, Christ in me, I've got Christ in me. That's wonderful. Wonderful. What Satan in me, Christ, that's wonderful. Supposed to be raised in the church. Not I, Christ lived in me. That's wonderful. Not tremendous. The church is meant to know that. They're meant to know it's my new birth. But you don't at all. And other way around, we're in the universal Christ. We're bodies of the head. We're in with the head. We're in the head. The body in the head. Or whichever we are. Either he in me, operating all me and him, both sides are wonderful, a union. In other words, we've come from relationship to union. But the point is, who has been united to him? It's the me is the problem. I may say that, so it says in Romans 6, reckon yourself dead indeed to see the light of God, reckon yourself in Christ. That's this Romans 6, reckon yourself so and so. Now reckon is a hesitating word. Reckon is somewhat mental. I reckon to something. I reckon I'm in this house. Well, I may know I am in it too, but I reckon I'm, I reckon I'm in a house. That's a little mental. I would go further and say, I know I'm in it, maybe, but I reckon. And that's all we're offered in Romans 6. Well, reckon on the fact that Jesus Christ is in you. And reckon on the fact that you're part of the really ascended Christ. Pieces, Christ, body in head and all that. Listen on that. All right. But I don't live a reckoning. I live by knowing. As I say, I'm not in this house recognizing this house. I'm in the house because I know I'm in it. By coming here, I've moved from reckoning this the house to being in it. Reckoning has become knowing. Reckoning has become realizing. Now Romans 8, Romans 6 doesn't say realize. It says reckon. Why? Because of the me. Why? Because suddenly, in the same letter, same chapter, he suddenly says something else which bothers us. All yield yourselves, he says, members of the other God, your God the Christ. Yield up your members. Yield is just recognized, they're his members. They're members of the God, members of the Christ. The Christ has got all this. Yet having just said that, in 6, likewise, reckon yourself to be dead in sin, under sin, like unto God, and yield your members. I quoted that, that's 6, 11 and 13. Then he says, something shakes them. Then he says, sin shall not have dominion over you. That's verse 14, for you're not under law, but under this. You see how little heaven is, hardly anybody turns pages here. We're not Bible people enough. No one's turning a page. And yet I find I've learned by rereading. We don't see how, see we're lacking something in our union life. Most of us probably have Bibles here. Hardly anyone can read it here, that's what it says. We haven't got the habit. We need a little more Bible habit. If the Holy Spirit can turn, it's a faith habit. If the Bible, and the Bible operates through the Spirit. That's the whole danger today of operating up the Spirit of God. That's why I told you I was so glad when that sharp lady in England said, I liked you people in you Americans came over because I found you Bible oriented. I liked that. You caught that somehow. That you gave them the sense of what you said, that's what the Word of God says interpreted. That was right. Do you see what I mean? You're not to blame because we have to produce that habit. Maybe we don't. Probably most of us have our Bibles here, but we haven't got the habit of what it says. We don't work that way, I must admit, we don't work that way. Maybe we're not meant to. Yet, well, it must be that basic. If it isn't that basic, we're in trouble. And all these years, does the Bible say it? By us, does the Bible say it? Can I prove it from the Bible? Then I sit in the Bible, I prove what I know, but I prove because it says it here. And that's my final answer. It isn't what I say, it's what it says here. So you can't shut up the critic, really, unless you know that's what I say I know, I know it because it says it here. So the two have to go together, don't they? So we do that among ourselves, but so we're not in front line Bible people, we're more in the front line street people. We're going to be sure it's on the basis of the Bible, that's all. That's all. Because it says so here. So if suddenly it says, hey, you know, reckon this, reckon that, you've seen that, in Christ's death you died to sin, in Christ's life, Christ's your life now, and you're joined to Christ, you reckon your members belong to him, or you see, or see. Then he suddenly says, for sin does not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. Now then, that created a shock. It says, what then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? We have come back. Me has come back. Look. He said, oh, you're dead in Christ. And you're risen in Christ. Christ in you. Christ. Well, we've got a pretty clear idea. What about the me? And suddenly, he got back to me. He says, yes, it's all right to reckon your members and all this and all that and all that. But he says, sin shall not have dominion over you. You now. Not Christ. For you're not under the law but under grace. And then he answers, oh, wait a minute, what about me? What then shall we sin? Because otherwise I can tell you, isn't Christ it's me? It's precisely. If I got my me in focus, I don't get my Christ out of me in focus. And the church hasn't got the me in focus. That's the problem. That's what we said, that what we say is, wish it was, which is a very large extent unique. Wish it was. The day will come when you need it. The earth will call on the Lord, the water will come to the sea. And we can't speak of others, we all know the Lord. Jeremiah saw that by prophecy years ago, it comes up in Hebrew. That day's got to come, it hasn't come yet, not by any means. Because the me is an answer. But to some extent the Christ is answered. Joyously through the ears, it comes sharpened up into who Christ is. Pretty good. We haven't got sharpened up himself. And he had to come back joyously, it had to come through psychology. And the atheist brought it to us. Freud brought it to us, Paul the atheist, Freud. He said, who is the me? This id stuff. I'm not a psychologist. Some of you may know it. All the id stuff. Who is the self? Oh, who is the self? Who is the self? What is the self? So God brought it back to us in our generation to an atheist. And Jung is not an atheist. Jung knew a few things. But it was. It brought the whole, who am I is a great question. Self. Self-solution. Self-liberation. Self. This is the great self day. So we have to have the self answer as well as the Christ answer. And we haven't got it here. Why? Oh, wait a minute, what am I? Hello. You should have come up on the law. I'm in danger, aren't I? He says here, sin shan't have to be in you because you're not under law. And he says, oh, wait a minute, I'm not under the law. Can't I dash off and do things I should do? What about me? I should dash off and do the things I think I knew. I my flesh wants to do. What about me? And frightened. So I became a frightened person. I hadn't directly, it hadn't worked out. Because then it had to be, I'd say, because what of me? What about me? If I've got nothing, Lord, keep me going, who knows what to run into? I hadn't found the I. And what did the I hadn't found? The I hadn't found it. The I was never an operator. It expressed an operator. It never operated. It wasn't itself operating itself. That's the lie. It wasn't what the I do. That's a lie. It's operated by an operator. And you do what the operator means to do. That's the hidden thesis. Now, to some extent, we know that on the Christ level. Or I say, not I but Christ. Yep, it's not I but Satan first. I think you can say not I but Satan, you can't say not I but Christ. That's the missing point. Christ is only operated by negatives. You only see light because it's dark. You wouldn't see light in those elements of dark, you wouldn't see it. God there, you wouldn't feel light. In the sun, you see a thing bright, and it pours up its power, it's pouring up the power of that light, it's pouring up darkness. That light would be nothing there if it wasn't dark. Its power is pouring into anything negative. You've got to have the negative, and then the negative is the means of expression of the positive. All darkness. That's the simple principle of light. And I said yesterday that we saw that in God we didn't know, like that's why God's free. It's not just some theological theory God's free, because one is one on one. We're meant to start. We start as I. We're meant to be. We must be. Tremendous I. I must be self-satisfied. I must operate high. I must do what I do. I'm an operating self. I'm a real self. I'm a satisfied self. God is. Because satisfied with himself by giving himself love to the Son. He didn't satisfy it in himself, that fire. I by myself, be my own stuff, do my own stuff. Self for self. God never was that. But he was a self. He was a self. Yeah, I am. He never was a self for self. Because from eternity, he was a self for his Son. A self for others. And life power becomes life. Like this sun, fused in its helium, and produces the radiation, radiated light. And we live by light, which is sun, radiated warmth. Electricity is light, isn't it? E equals C square, Einstein's stuff. It's all light. Yes, it's fire. Yes, it's light. Fire becomes light if you live by the, not by the fire, but by the light. It is the fire in a light form, a giving form. It's in a burning form, a giving form. Self is either self-burning, consuming fire, or self-giving light. That's God. And that's the only I am there is. So the I am universe is tremendously itself. It could have been a self-consuming hell self. Could have been. Never was. From everlasting to everlasting. Moses' beautiful word. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. So we can't put time in. Time is a dimension we lose when we drop the alcohol. No time, no space, that's all, everywhere, everything, those great days. But down here we live by time, and so we have to put time in, there's no time, we can't quite get there. So we don't say when the beginning of time took place, we don't say that. We just say eternally begotten. In the eternal begotten, in the eternal fire self comes the life self, comes self-giving self, self-loving self. Self has a death there, dies to be self-giving, comes self-loving. And that's in God. We said yesterday, the subtlety of this is that Satan only became the parent self by remaining himself. He remained the cause of fire. They're all fire. He became consuming fire. Self is self-destruction. Consuming fire, self to self. That's what the world is. Destroyed itself. Look, love. Atomic bomb. Destroyed. Self-destroyed. Self to self destroyed. That's fire. And that's what God could have been, never was. From eternity, never was. From everlasting. But potentially could have been, because you've got the process of health. You can live to be yourself forever. Then you've got the right to God relationship. That one person in himself became the other kind of self, the only one being. In himself, he became the other lover self, the light self, in the place of the fire self, by his own inner death. And he died as he said, and he just said himself, that son is the son, a silver son, comes all this, it outpoured love. Now you see, our difficulty is to find ourselves. See, there's a death. It's got to be a self-search. Then you've got to, God died to be a self, to become a self-light, to become a self-death. You have to be a self-self-self as it were, which is never operating. And to die to that, come return, to become a self-lover. It had to be a death in deity. And the equivalent is a death, the equivalent to a death. Now then, therefore, when Satan came into being, he didn't take a death. That's just a reason to come today. He didn't take a death. I'm the self, self-self-self. Never died. And he really is a product of God's fire gone wrong. Yeah. Nothing in his world is wrong. Everything Paul says, everything good is how it's used. Nothing is unclean in itself, it has used. It has used. And so this self, the God self, is used this way for Christ. Now, Satan used this way for Satan. So it's come into being as if he's himself. He really is a product of God's fire self, which remains a fire. And he acts as though he's himself. That's a lie. He doesn't know he's a product of God's fire. He thinks he's himself. That's the lying self, the lying self. And he got that into us in the fall. So in the fall we sit there self-made himself. That's our curse. The self of self, we never were. There's no such thing. God takes it into the self-operating self. He's a fire operating. He's the other part of God operating it. Which God never was. The fire being. He never was himself. There's never been such a thing in the universe. Only one self. So Satan kidded himself. He kidded himself. He kidded himself. Now he says he's a deep in us. We are cells. But we're derived selves, we're creatures, and we're the ultimate who can expect God's self. But we expect God's self like ourselves. Everything is expected of God. So I say everything cool is glory. But they say, yes, we don't expect God for tree, but it is glory. So everything I see, I worship and say, I see something of glory in God, everything I see. Because I don't mistake it, because God isn't an it. Because I don't mistake the it of a tree, or the it of an atom, or the it of a chair of a God. But I'm glad you got comfortable chairs, and I'm glad you got padding on them, too. So there we are. We don't mistake the it for God, but they are products. They are products. There'll be no chair but for no atoms. There'll be no atoms but for the mind of those atoms, which is God. Don't know. But the marvel, of course, is in order that God is himself again, in his universe. He has cells who are like him, made in his image, spirit, mind, body, spirit, soul, body, made like him. So there is, Satan was made like him. Made like him. Because they're made like him because they're only derivatives. With the first thing, there is only one who's first, which is expressed him. And Satan expressed the other form of God, which God wasn't. He expressed a fire form of God, which God never been. He could have been, he mustn't be. The self form. So he's a form of God and a negative form which God never expressed. That's the subtlety. But he fixed him to himself. Now then he gets into us. And he makes us to be not just a recipient. Not just agents. And we are the thing in itself, we never were the thing in itself. There's no such thing as a self in itself. No such a thing. That's the hidden disease. And so we start life by thinking we do our own stuff we never did. Now see, because we think that, we can forget that I can be a robber. Oh wait, if I'm not under law of God's grace, if I'm not under law, can't I sin? I sin. I'm an independent person, can't I do it? I think I'm independent, it's a lie. What have you always had the Satan doing in the country? He has no eye. Therefore, an eye doing it on self is Satan doing it at me. First, because there's no law, I join to my sin. It isn't I doing it, Satan doing it. Jesus exposes it. You know that. Well, doesn't know that. That's why John 8:44 has a key verse. John 8:44 was when he said to the Pharisees, not the two fathers, he said, "Ye is your father, there's the lust of your father you do. Ye are your father the devil," John 8:44, "lust of your father you do." You can't do lust. You're lusting personally, because lust is beautiful. He lusts for the flesh now, he loves the flesh. And who uses the lust? Lust for the flesh, if you haven't been showing your breakfast, I hope you have. That's a good lust, isn't it? It's a man who uses your lust. And, Satan's make us use our lust, self to self, fire, self to self, self to self. Misuse our lust. But they aren't our misuses. They're Satan misusing us, and we agree. See, what I have to learn is, the only capacity I've got is the capacity of being a recipient. And faith is, I accept the thing and operate on it. Now, I accept that chair, I operate as the chair holds me up. All I do is accept the chair, which means I'm able to sit on it. That's all. I reckon in my chair it's a good chair. That's not what I can do, my reason. All I can't make the chair, I can't hold the chair up. But I can now the chair operate me by my sitting on it, it operates me. It holds me up. The fool did it. You had the capacity of choosing your food. That's all you did. And the capacity of taking it. It's up to you. You don't operate it. I hope you got quiet comments this morning. The food operates you. All right. You operate the operator. You only operate the operator. You don't operate yourself. There never was such a thing. Never was such a thing. Now the whole world says that we do well off operate ourselves. And in our fallen vision, we thought we did, but if it says, at least to some extent we knew it was Satan. Even so, we said, we were sinners. Satan was a sinner. We really operated Satan's sin. Lust of our father, you did. Lust of your father, we operated the sin. So, of course, as a free person, I agree with Satan, and therefore I condemned the Satan in my fallen vision. But on the other, all I have is an agreement. It wasn't my sin. Satan operated my human desire for lust purposes, for sin purposes. Now I get that much, but I still think I'm a self-operator. And I come to assume that my Christian, and now I'll be a better Christian. What about me? If there's no law, what can I do? Can't I go into sin? Is it I can go into sin? Is it I, a person, can go into sin, can do the thing? See, so something comes right into the redeemed life. Now that's the final issue. God has to make clear to you, it's a different issue from Christ in you. It's a different issue from you in Christ. It's a different issue from justification by faith. It's the me, the issue of the me. And somehow it has to come, because I never did run myself. All the self stuff in me, good or bad, was faith. Whatever form it may take, that's what God, when I was a young man, I'd say, what got me is my self-centeredness. It wasn't open sins that got me. But why am I so self-centered? That was Satan. I didn't know it then. Why am I me for me, me for me? A good me for me. Fairly good, reasonably good. But it was not me that Satan. I didn't know that, as I was saying. Satan very suddenly, the good me for me, all me for me is Satan. And all me for you is Jesus. And there's no you except me for me, Satan, or me for you, Jesus. That's all there is. All you are is the agency. The agency. Now, we've lost that. The church doesn't know it. That's why they build up that church stuff. That's why the hardest people to get saved in ministers, because they're built on a false building. Keep your church going. You come to church. You come with the eternity. You do this. You do this. They feel it alive. No wonder they fight. And their properties and salaries lie on it. No wonder the church crucified Christ. The church of that day was a priest. Pharisee. The church crucified Christ, not the pagan Rome. If the church crucified us today, because the last thing you've got is yourself, apparently good to the dead, will say, kill Satan self. That's the subtlety. I'll come to church, I'll do this, that, I will, is what Paul Conyers said, when I would do good, evil. He couldn't quite, evil present. He couldn't quite get it right, what it meant. It's in Romans 7, verse 21. Now, when I would do good, not do bad, evil present with me. Because that I would do good is Satan, that's Satan's quality operating at us. And that I would do good is still Satan's self-evident. That's the highest form of Satan, or whatever form of your life. Now, that's deep in it. That's so deep, it's captured the church. It's very radical, everybody knows this. Everybody's moved over from the problem. It isn't a Christ problem, it's a self problem. And to get the self in focus is the final piece. And so here in this chapter, as you go on, Paul gets it. Then it's Paul illustrating for us. So he first says, very strongly, the main thing to Paul through that chapter 6, he says, get this thing, there never was a you. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourself service, the Greek phrase, that's 6:16. So you yield yourself, that's all we do. Yield is moving to who we are. I'm moving to what's there. I'm moving to my food. I'm moving to this room. I move in the room. I don't do anything except move in the room, move in the chair, move in the seat. I'm a moving company that operates me, takes me over. That's all I ever do. All I ever do. And then I operate on that level. To whom you yield yourself, slaves to obey, his slaves ye are, whom you obey, whether of sin, self-self, unto death, self-destruction, or obedience, unto obedience, very subtle how Paul uses that word of faith. He's the only one who does that. It's almost his first verse in Romans 1 is at the obedience of faith. Almost the last verse in chapter 16, he says, what obey? Agree with it. Obey isn't doing. All right, I agree it's a chair, I sit in it. I've agreed to it being a chair. All I do is sit in the chair, that's all. I don't do anything except for the chair. The chair does for some. You see, my obedience is to agree to chair. All right, that part I have, because I agree, yeah. All right, I'm free, I'll sit here. That's all I do. I yield myself to something, it then does its stuff. All that is yield to something, it does its stuff. All that is there, all that. And so Paul's very remarkable, nothing coming in earth, the obedience of faith. Now you see, across the world, the church got so wrong, we can get and do it. Work at it, say more, work more, resolve more. See, that comes self-doubt. Self doesn't do it. Self yields to the doer. And then the doer expresses himself through like a chair, expresses himself by holding me up. The fool expresses himself by feeding me. And then the thing in me, I said it operates as me, it's operating in me, for me, isn't it? The obedience of faith, you obey by recognizing effect and then moving into effect. Moving into effect. Moving into effect. So it says here, to reveal yourself self. Adam and Eve yielded themselves to it, got taken over by Satan, which of course is God called a fire nature. Taken over by that self nature. Yielded, all they did, they were cut by Satan. And Satan made them think it's the lie, because he thinks he loves himself, he makes them think he loves himself. That's the lie. And so, here they say, you're always a slave. You're either slave to sin, Satan, or slave to Jesus Christ. There never was a you. That's the point he says. There never was a just you. You always were operated by Satan, you operated by Satan. No middle way, but as we think there is. We think there is. I don't know if I've had this for week, but we ought to go into the difference between temptation and sin, because there's a great deal of trouble out there. You must take self-responsibility to take temptation to sin. And you get a great deal of false bondage there. We'll go into that later. I don't need to do it now. It's all I did. So I'm talking about yielding. So that's the first thing he says. Then the same chapter, he's talking about vine and branch. And he says in the 20th verse, for 21. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye ashamed? Well, it says that you serve the sin, slave to sin. They take the example from a slave to sin, because of fruit is a sin. So what fruit had he then, of those things which went on, he said, you are a branch. You're saying that the fruit is not your fruit, the tree is getting fruit stuff through you, and you are producing it. Your food, and you produce the product of the food in your life. But you produce the product of the food isn't you. Yes, it's just that here. It's quite just how the one is the other. You became slaves to God, servants to God, and you have your fruit as well. Same fruit, not same branch. Not same branch, same you, but you change tree. If you've not changed, the tree has changed. And the tree gets holy fruit to you, and the old tree gets bad fruit to you. The tree has changed, and of course Christ has taken it out quite clearly. The tree has changed every day. You don't change. Yet the whole gospel says to that. Our precious leader in my work, which is my love, of course, my mission, is a lovely man. He's mighty in faith. He's done good to all his faith. He's been our leader the last 3 years. He's still saying, Lord, what about responsibility? You can't quite take this into business. What about responsibility? I said, I'm totally irresponsible. I've been a driven man all my life. I was well driven by Satan himself and self. I was driven by Christ and self love. I'm a well driven man. I can be diverse to him. I haven't talked about temptation. Totally diverse is not the point. I'm a driven man, I'm not responsible. I have to be what I am. So are you. And you were driven well by Satan self to self. And thank God, I guess all of us here now are good and well driven by self-cost. Now, it isn't you. You're the branch bearing the fruit. And you're a slave being the owner's stuff. In the old days, a slave being the owner's stuff. What's your stuff? And in the next chapter, he says of marriage. He says, marriage is lordship. He says, verse 7, a husband is a wife is bound by the law of a husband. This is the law of a husband. So you're supposed to be wise, aren't very good at it. But you're supposed to be obeying the law of your husband. And and then Paul says, the husband died. In Christ, the husband death has died. And now it goes on to the new husband, Christ. You never were a widow, and never were a widower. Never. There's no such thing. The day you died to one marriage, it's no longer adultery, you marry next to the other one. The same husband stays faithful to husband Christ. So he hammers home senior stations here, you never wear a union, silly people, except as a recipient and operator. You operate what operates you, you operate what operates you, operate what operates, operate what operates, not you. Now all the remainder of Romans 7 is for it is duty for our sake. That is the father, that's how I went to it. And I first went to it in his deal, not knowing this independent I of the fourth thing. It then says I suddenly got to hold the 10th commandment. He always was a moral man, so thou shalt not commit adultery, that's not, it didn't bother Paul, I don't think. He said, on that morality is good. But of course, Paul is self-loving self. Self for self, it's a high morality. It was, so the good morality is still saying self for self. Right, wrong, it is self for self. And he got it on the 10th commandment. Tenth commandment is, don't even desire. Oh, thou shalt covet. Oh, that got it. I don't commit adultery. I don't lie. I don't steal. I don't murder. But no desire. And what do I do with that? And he says there, he said, I shall have come to God here, full of wrong desire. Full of wrong desire. He learned it there, and he said, I had not known sin, so the Lord said, I shall not come. Sin, since the occasion of the commandment, wrought in me all manner of truth, of dust. Sin, the commandment came to him and said, Lord, called had the lies, took the lies. Oh, I won't do that. I won't do that. Of course I won't. I'm a new person. I love God now. I won't covet and lust and that. I won't do that. And then he said, there's no such thing that I won't. There's no such thing. all you is a recipient of the I want at first, if you ask in you, or the I will, I want it to do, first in you, I will do that, I will do that. And faith in it, and I will do it. So faith in Paul says, yeah, you'll be full of my stuff. I could do you. Because he said, I didn't want to, have the recipient. I don't want to. To win this person, I don't want to. But I'm rather the person who is the doer in me. And the doer in him is Satan. You'll laugh. After he had just come up first, can't do nothing to it. First and simply, for the doer, that's all he ever is. Operates, the one operates is all he ever do. At last he comes. So he went through, had to go through agony to the Muslim. They put that in the present case to go on with what I hate, what I do. I don't want to do it. It's because we're, God is trying to, because we're this person, you have to follow God. That's true. To win this person, you have to be able to say, all right, I agree. Yes? Part of the form I haven't got. That's why he said to number 7. He got that last, you see. He says, somewhere there, to will this person with me. Oh, that's verse 18. I know in me, my humanity, my good humanity, feels in court of flesh, feels no good to will this person in the heart of form I find not. He took it in it. The heart of the form isn't me. The will is me. I can do, and now I can see the performer. I can see the performer. So you see, he said, I don't want to do these things, but the performer, he didn't understand it as it was Satan. And Satan was still there, he didn't know Satan had put out, didn't realize Satan had put out the Calvary. Hadn't entered into that yet, because it's been too deep for him. He got the sins out, and the relationship to Christ right, he hadn't got himself right. And so he didn't know that when Christ died as he made sin, sin is Satan, without the Christ, holiness came in, because for me he's only the container. He didn't know that. He mixed up himself and sin. And so he said, how the former find out it's not in us? At last he found. He said, oh, it isn't me. Oh, it isn't me. It's sin operating me. Sin's not me. Sin's this wrong spirit that got into me. This self-called spirit that operates me. It isn't me. Then because he's learned the other, it doesn't come so much, it doesn't give the details so much in Romans, it doesn't print it. As I say, how Christ not only bore our sin, you wouldn't need to know that, the body of Christ made sin. We are, our body is precious, all you are is precious. It's precious or inner deity. And the inner deity is sin self, self to self in you. It's precious, that's called sin. Therefore, when Jesus hung there as me, he expressed sin to mend the servant. That's the final statement, of course, in the Bible, on the Calvary. You've got 2 Corinthians 5:21. It's a profound statement in the Bible. For God made him to be, made him sin, not sin. Made him me, I express the sin spirit, Satan. So Jesus Christ expressed that sin. That's the reason why it says, my God, why have you Satan? How do you Satan him? He acted as if he's Satan sitting there. Inside him, as us, with this sin. But then death comes out because of sin. So when he died on Calvary, out went that sin. And in the tomb came the new sin. So you see, Paul there got the body of Jesus yesterday. And the church doesn't seem to know that. That's why, when you get the Lord's Supper, they don't know how to pray the bread. They pray the wine. Well, Lord, we thank you, this indicating you'll shed your blood. What bread? Broken bread. How do I? Don't know. Because broken bread means the body dies, there's no blood. You don't know that. The broken bread, broken body, then out went the wrong spirit, into the right spirit. So most people when they pray over the Lord's Supper don't know what to pray about the broken bread. Because they haven't got it clear. But we've got it clear. A person with a broken body, the blood of course is the life, but out of the body, as us, the sins. The body is us, and our body contains sin. So Christ has made sin. So when that body died, they out went that sin, as us. In the resurrection, in Christ is spirit as us. And because Paul knew that, in Romans 10, he could see. Oh, he said, I see. That's right, it isn't me. It isn't me. To will is me. I have a right to will. I have a right to align myself to what is. That's my one capacity. Faith can align itself to there. Can align itself to this. Can see this. Can lead into this. But that's not the doer. The doer is the thing that takes you over. Takes you over. I can see. And the sin took me over. All of these sins, I know now, sin that I found out the way, but it took me 2 years. That's the next of the Galatians. He said he had a revelation so great in heaven, I'd rather him be damned. And the revelation is, what did Christ died for me? If Christ died as me, as a sinner, not with the sin. And then in the right, he died as me as a sin expression, not just sin. Out there, the sin expression, Satan, is the other. Paul found out in 2 years in Arabia. That's why he said he was to Christian. Could call it Christ before. And now we see that now Paul says, oh, thank God, why am I howling about myself? Oh, wretched man, I'm not a wretched man. I've got a wretched container. If you hadn't got the container out, you hadn't moved in by faith, the container went out in Christ's body there. You hadn't got that clear. Oh, I'm not a wretched man, because my body contains Jesus, God in faith to your soul. Oh, now in Romans 8, he says, now I see. That's no more condemnation, we didn't discuss that, so it's going to take now, it was Romans 8, 2. The law is a principle. The principle of the spirit of Christ, of life in Christ, hath made me free from the principle of sin and death. Hath made me free, it's exactly like he's realizing. Oh, I know now. Now, when you know the passion, now I'm saying to you today, we are here, we know all this, about this passion. If you know you've got a passion, if you've got faith, you've got a passion, then you have a passion for Jesus. You wanted to get other people saved, didn't you? You couldn't help it, didn't you? You couldn't help it. The other love grabbed you. You had a passion to get other people. It wasn't you. This is new spirit in you, the new birth. This passion, God's passion. Passion. Fire, fire, fire. With fire. Passion. Now then, when you know this, you've got another passion. Oh, I've got a passion. I'm Christ as me. I'm a walking Christ. It is Christ as me. It was Satan as me. All that's happening to me is Christ as me. I've got a passion. This is my liberation. Whatever happens to me, it's Christ happening to me. If I'm sick, it's Christ in the sick body. And I put it right. And it is he now. It happens to me. He. So I say, I said, my friend, Dr. Cthulhu, she's saying in her business how she's learning that thing. It's Christ for this. The thing goes wrong or something. Learning. It's Christ. This Christ as me, not Christ in me, Christ for me, Christ as me. This is it. Now Paul said, oh, I see it, it's a passion. Now, everybody says, this, that's the passion he has. So I'm asking you now, how far have you actually squared up to this? We're in a circle, and you can discuss it, as it goes on, you can discuss it among yourselves. You've got to squared up salvation by grace, you've got that. A sinner saved by grace, you've got that. You've probably squared up the Christ in you. Probably you have. You probably said to Paul, I've been crucified in Christ. I live yet not I, but Christ. But not so high, I'm not I. You know the Christ party. You're quite so clear on that, yet not I. You know the Christ. Yet not I, but Christ is in me. You say it. Or as you get the Christ in you, and you get not I. And after I, you never were I. Who did you contain at all? You were saved to Satan, you're saved to Christ. You were granted the key, you were granted the right key. Your wife had the wrong husband, your wife had the right husband. Your vessel became rock liquid, your vessel became mercy liquid. That's all. You never were mercy liquid. You never were a lone body, or a widow or widower or something, and I wasn't there. That's the illusion. Now, I'm telling you, I tell you that if you see it, it really is you. That's what the burning bush was to Moses. Only they had a great conscience that self and I. See, Joseph is a great man, a young man. Oh, he had a dream that his very brothers were bowed down to him. Well, they hated him, they sold him as a slave. That boiled him up. But his second dream was his character bowed out to him. Oh, why? That guy. He's a real Joseph. His first dream was that I'd like a sheep and all the other sheep to bow down to me. His brethren, that worked him up enough to tell him. That brethren, his second dream, I'm a son and a spouse of God, actually, including my father and my mother. He died. So if a dad could say my father and mother would bow down to my knees, who's going to say that? Seth doesn't say that. He died. That's how Moses feels of God. He looks to come and says, here's God as Moses. And God as Moses. God is Moses. Moses found out the many books. Books are just fire burning. Books are just the agency. Fire, I'm the fire burning. I'm the God fire burning. I'm just the agency. The fire is burning. Fire keep going further. All those things about Jesus Christ and baptism. That's his baptism. All the Spirit upon me. Now he says, I do nothing about myself at all. I do nothing about myself. I do what I see the Father do. I see what I see the Father do. Look, I do not do that much as a faith good deed. He does it. Jesus found me to have to as a man, had to go as a man, and then to his 20 years, he didn't know it. And because at baptism, he identified as a sinner, that's a big thing. Don't say, don't put that power. That's me for sinners. That's what I fulfill righteousness. That was the wrong for Jesus. And the birth of baptism, that identified as a sinner needing a baptism. He didn't need a baptism. But as I have to do, that's when he died. So Jesus died and that gave it at his action. Very good. Now adoption. Adoption is me. You're just me again. You're the spirit of Christ on you. You got it. So Jesus has gone the same way and has to go that way. And if he goes beyond Christ, it comes you. You've got yourself to defend. So I'm saying to this yourself. There is a moment when it happens and you know. When you know, you see what happens? You know you're a God container. You know it. And you laugh at all this. I haven't discussed that this morning, the temptation of sin, because you get mixed up with another time on that. But all it is either Satan doing or Christ doing it. There's no halfway. And our common life is Christ doing it. Well, Satan. And so deep down we know it isn't we. Now we have to come back to that. That's the desire. Come back to it. But you know where to come now. You know how to come. That's okay. You didn't know how to come. That's okay. You didn't know how to come. That's what I say about that called backup surgery. Don't go training Jim back and have 2 years counseling. Satan is Christ. He doesn't know who he is. Doesn't know. Jerry Powell couldn't tell him. Jerry Powell's a big man. Doesn't know. He couldn't throw back at what the answer was. He said, I have 2 years counseling. That's not the answer. The answer is, you're Christ. It's a Christ keeps you. If you do, put together again. You know, a Christ keeps you. Doesn't know. No one tells him. The church doesn't know it. The church doesn't know it. We do know it. So I've got to know I know it. I've got to know myself. And myself says, I know who I am, I laugh. I'm a joke. I'm God's joke. I like being God's joke. It's fun. So this is you. That's happened to Satan because I've seen it in me, bother me. See, that's why I have to condemn that because he didn't know. You see how when you challenge to bury somebody, that kind of says, you could have done, you wouldn't answer that. Because they all are done good. They are asking what dreams don't. See, when you think it's me, don't I do those things? Well, just as we. Just as me, the doctor, suddenly, Satan doing it. Then you're free. If you do, you're a backer. You come back, what to do with Satan, then you know. Backer doesn't know. No pretend. See, the difference between me doing it to Satan or Christ doing it. So when sin comes, well, you very slick. I thought I hadn't got that down. You very slick, you very rarely. Thank God very rarely. That's the interpretation of sin. So if you do give up, I'm going to save you anyhow. And you don't have time to change yourself. You're just a container. And then all the bad stuff is taken to get there. You're the good stuff. It's still operating you. That's all. Then you laugh at the sea. Then you know. Then you've got a passion. Because you found a new self. And then you go on to be a self that does things like God. So you're going to work these works of faith, which we do for eternity, and work the works of faith. And just do things as God. That's the time. It turns around the understanding of the self. Think, what does that mean? Aren't I responsible? What about me? It's just like law, can I do it? What's that mean? A lie. That means either Satan me or Christ me. There's no me. I didn't know that. What about me is a lie. It's only Satan me or Christ, and it's Christ me, so you keep that Satan at all. That's it. So I'm underlining to you what we talked about yesterday. I'm asking you, wake up. It says a way up beyond Christ with you, beyond for Christ, beyond in Christ. It's you, it's the you in the relationship. It's not the Christ that is, but you in the relationship. And then he goes back to life, then he kills Christ, because it was Satan. But there's no way to do it. That's all. Thank you. There's a fire. Everything's fire. God's fire. Fire, his fire becomes death fire, light, or continues otherwise. So Bible calls it fire and light. So make a good impression now. Hebrews 12 continues fire. Fire consumes all something happens to it comes to life. A death, we know scientifically a death in this healing mechanism. And it releases an energy and becomes
life.
Instead of burn, fleshes. That's the paradox. What burns, blesses, when it's dissolved inside it, it's dissolved in the sun element. And what dissolves the sun element can feel in the field, as a type of receiving the atmosphere. When the field feels it, out comes the new power. New power of life. And the whole life, and it is life. What a lot of talk is that, the thing is alive. Life is electricity, life, God is life, this is life, everything is life, everything is life. Like fire in an edified form. Instead of getting the form, instead of getting the form. Fire is not getting it. Life is just it. And that's what God is what it is. Fire, life. And we become that. We're all fire. We're passion. Of course we're passion. Thank God we're passion. This is a passion going. Lust is a beautiful word. Burn with lust. Says what kind of lust? Oh, we've got bad connotations from those words. There they are. And the word in Greek is epithumiation, strong desire. It's lust to my lust in Greek, it's the new kingdom, Jesus said. The Greeks just we have to use the word lust. It's just strong desire. Passion. And now our passion goes into this. Our passion goes into giving Jesus the solution in God, inner solution. And give people the whole business now. I as he. The suffering.
The suffering,
every form of thing, fire, suffering. I don't like it. And we always get it. All life consists in that. You see, of course, perplexed. Who is the perplexed? Who is the perplexed? Don't run away. Accept the perplexed and play the solution. Don't run away and say, oh, well, we'll find the answer somewhere. Get the answer inside you. That's the way God. Subjectivity. Get it inside you. Find the answer to that perplexity. The perplexed would not say, nothing to say, oh, I see. It's a bit of a mess. It's God's mess. You watch. God's coming through that mess. Now then, I'll come in a harmony. And I died to be governed by negative perplexity. I said perplexity, but God's perplexity. So God has I mean, I quite see how yet, but God has the answer. I'm satisfied, I'm watching God's answer. Now I'm back in harmony, and the life of the body is coming, his life is living, and that's coming to a body. I mean, he touched the harmony. Now, all life is there. In every form, pressure, suffering, every life. I guess I don't kid ourselves. But the point of getting it is, you then see the background of glory. We aren't fighting our suffering. That the poor world is fighting us. Mainly try to escape it by calling it mistake or something. And try to escape it. All the Lord has come up. And you put up our terrific armament for all the ridiculous stuff. Get the nation to get to do it. All this miserable stuff. Fear. So we have to do it out of stuff. Make our armament for all this stuff. Existentialism suffer solve it inside you. Find the truth inside you. And there's a truth inside you, of course it's God's stuff, it's God's devil. That's the thing Jesus said, it's God's devil. The devil could come in, I told you, the Christian soul coming has got it in me. It's subjectivity. Outwardly, objectively, called the bitch. In the business, you didn't get it. And your inner person, this is your party. It's things that are seen temp. Like a fish. Inside is me. And Jesus was an existentialist. He's taking nothing in me. They couldn't see it out of the After that, the table, at the supper table. Then he went out to the garden. And for 3 hours he said, well, I don't like this, huh? I don't like this. I don't, is it possible? I don't know how to do it. That's real. Of course, we see it as Satan. You see, Satan on the tempting level is good practice. Satan's only used to make it to the sin, but that's only occasion. So, tempting level is good practice. And occasionally it goes in the sin, then it's a problem, but that's only rare. And so Jesus has taken on tempting level. Not my will, he tempts. This is Satan saying, come on, come on. You shouldn't do that. Come on, come on, come on. No, I should do it, because God said I should do it. He was all inside him in bloody sweat. They couldn't meet with that prayer. They went to sin. He was turned over, alone. Alone in God. Like inside him, inside him. He came out of some of the bloodiest kind of sweat of some kind. In God. And then when the soldiers did come, you know, and then Peter cut the ear off the high priest, said and all that, and then Jesus healed him, he said, after that, the cup which my Father has given me to God. The devil was God's cup. So I dissolved it when the enemy becomes your friend, becomes your means in which God does something. The cup of my faithless God's cup. God's cup. Just in a solution. That's a perplexity, nothing fair. Persecution is not to shake, cast down, but not destroy. But you are first cast down. And you are first oppressed. You are first persecuted. And that's the fact. So there isn't story that puzzle. Now we all suffer. You see, until I recognize that I'm a threat, can't be quick to move. You know, everybody suffers. The poor world suffers. I don't want to do with it. Yes, the people do know what to do with it. That's our point. We all suffer, but then what do we do? We do know what to do. Inside you own. You do not know outside. You have to reverse the outside into the inside, the primary answer inside, existential. Inexistent. So, how do I respond? I'm inexistent. I'm inside you. How do I respond? I don't like it. Where's this cost? Now, wait. That I is that Satan gets at me. My real eye is Christ. Oh. Satan gets at me. Stop. Satan gets at me. Don't like. Not stop that way. Get me. What does it get me? A pull. You see, this is the... And so we always get pulled at this. And the whole life is how to resolve the pull. But I say, well, I am poor, but I forget I'm who I am. That's all. The telly boys out yesterday, the other one, I forget what I need. But I talked about it. The case is not about that. Very good. You're poor, you must be poor. And that poor is taken on you. That's good help. That's good practice. That's all. It may take long time. It's all over. It may take... It took even Jesus 3 hours. Yes, Jesus. So that's okay. I'm being pulled. Satan say, here. And you're hearing. You see it in situations, imagination, and so on. Here. And that's real. Say, wait a minute. I'll go inside myself. Inside myself. Hi, you're not that. You're me. Hi, you're not that stuff. You're me. Now inside you move back to who you are. You always were, just forgot. So the case is, get who you are, and you must do so to be real as a suffering as well. And you come to the gift of his glory, but it's still suffering, but God commands you, watch. You watch. God's playing trick. He said, turn this thing into a good thing. He turned Calvary into resurrection. No resurrection, no Calvary. I mean, there's no Calvary, no resurrection in there. That couldn't be what we are forever, but for Calvary. And as he walked, he prayed that he might, he prayed he shouldn't be dying. Interesting. He prayed that he shouldn't be dying. He did die, but the guy, the outer died, because he in resurrection. So that's it. So you see, all life is this. It's under every kind of form. Big forms, little forms, utter forms, inner forms. All life is suffering. But this is the only way of protecting.
When you die,
you've got to test the sort of character, learn your, you talk about your doctors, you learn your medicine to the practices. To learn our character to the practices. So, it's only everything that God has directed us, we can't hold it through. So, where it says God can't lie, it means there came a time when God turned down me and set himself. Now, that's the best thing to say, because that's using simple terms, eternal fact. We can't quite fit together. But somewhere in eternity, there was that amount of something, and God has quickened in me for me, just as coming to me, and me to you. And the fire became a light. There's a gift there. There's a gift in there. Yes, the glory is just a drama again, as we talked about that this morning. And then Alan Parker, the lawyer, picked it up and produced that in the book, Death in the Heart, Across in the Heart of God.